Hi everybody, my name is Shilpa Patel and I'll be speaking to you about the Marhaba Project, or the Muslim Americans Reaching for Health and Building Alliances Project in New York City. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So during the course of the presentation, I'll be giving a little bit about the project background and kind of the impetus for the Marhaba Project, some of the methods we used during the study, and some preliminary results, including some of the results from our in-depth interviews, and also in terms of the results for our message development for the health campaign. So Marhaba, again, Muslim Americans Reaching for Health and Building Alliances, also means welcome in Arabic, which is one of the reasons we chose the study titles. And the logo is actually henna, which actually is something that's known for a lot across a lot of the ethnicities we're working for in our project. So reason for the logo and the name of the project. So just in terms of some background, there Muslims are, even though there are no formal kind of population-based databases, Muslims are recognized as one of the fastest growing religious groups in the United States. Again, there's no formal databases, but estimates range from anywhere to 1.5 to 9 million in the United States. Similarly, there's little known about the health disparities that this group faces, especially how their cultural, religious, and social beliefs and practices that are unique to this population really impact their health behaviors and outcomes. However, there is a small but growing amount of literature that indicates that Muslim women really are not getting screened for breast and cervical cancer either ever or in timely rates, and are thus have higher rates of developing these cancers compared to the overall population. So given this background, we really developed the Marhaba study to understand the barriers and facilitators of breast and cervical cancer screening among a diverse group of Muslim women in New York City. And similar to some of the other projects that were discussed, we used a mostly qualitative mixed methods approach, and that was also very community engaged. The study findings from the first study goal were used to develop a large-scale social marketing campaign to increase breast and cervical cancer screening that was targeted especially for Muslim women, and I'll be going through some of the initial concepts from the health campaign as well. So in terms of methods, again, given the lack of information about the Muslim women, especially in New York City, and just the lack of literature on the population, we really took this as an opportunity to get the most amount of data from the largest group and largest and diverse group of Muslim women that we could. So with that in mind, we really sampled to ensure that we had representation in terms of all the ethnic groups that are within New York City, which are very diverse. So we really sampled to make sure we had a group of African American, African immigrant, South Asian, Middle Eastern, and Southeast Asian women represented in the Marhaba sample. And again, similar to ethnicity, we wanted to include a broad range of variables also in terms of the length of the time in the United States, because a large population of the Muslim women in New York City are immigrants. And we also wanted to make sure we could look at differences in terms of other variables of interest given previous literature, which included marital status, family history of cancer, past receipt of cancer, cancer screening, and then all women received a $40 honorarium for participating in the Marhaba Project. Similar, as I mentioned, our recruitment was and our study was really community-based and community-engaged. So our recruitment strategy was mostly community-based. We recruited at a number of different venues and forums, including community-based events such as health fairs and seminars. We largely recruited through faith-based organizations, which are mosques in this case. And we utilized a variety of methods within the mosque. So within on Friday at the mosque, there's a large congregation that attends Jumu'ah prayers. So we had announcements working with the leadership at these mosques to promote the Marhaba Project and kind of use that as a recruitment method. We also attended the weekly prayer sessions and worked with Muslim student associations at university across New York City to recruit women. And we also use media in terms of local ethnic newspapers and neighborhood newspapers within the various boroughs of New York City for recruitment. Again, given the diversity in terms of ethnicity, but also kind of the immigrant status of the Muslim population in New York City, we really made sure all of the recruitment occurred in language. And it's a little hard to see, but all of our materials are translated into a number of languages, including Urdu, Arabic, French, again, given all the ethnicities represented within the New York City Muslim populations. And our recruitment was largely spearheaded through three community health workers, Southeast Asian women, African immigrant women, and a Bangladeshi woman, who we were all very lucky and are really well known within the community and really helped us to make sure we got a large representation of our sample in the Marhaba study. So this is just kind of the different groups that we worked with. Again, a different, all the different boroughs within New York City. We're trying to make sure we're diverse in terms of that, but also just all the different CBOs, academic partners, mosques, and student organizations that we worked with to make sure that we received, we have recruited a number of different ethnicities and different groups within the Maharaba study. In terms of methods, so we had face-to-face, semi-structured, in-depth interviews conducted by either the CHW or student interns. The interviews took place where the participant chose and was comfortable. So this could have been in the participant's home, the research study office, or another community location. We had a number of data collection tools. So we had a screening intake form to assess eligibility. Again, we really wanted to make sure we sampled a diverse group of Muslims, which is what we use a screening intake form. There was a quantitative survey, but the interview was largely qualitative. Again, this was the impetus for this qualitative survey was the lack of information and the data on the Muslim population within New York City. So we thought the first step and the most important step was to kind of just have a conversation in terms of what's going on, not only for their screening behaviors, but also just health access, the importance of religion in their lives, and kind of how it affects their daily lives as well. So all of these data collection tools often ended up taking about 60 to 90 minutes to conduct a full interview, and all interviews were audio taped with the informant's permission. So again, here are some of the different domains included within the quantitative survey. We had demographic information, access to care, health and information services, sources, acculturation, discrimination scale that we used, and a religiosity scale that we used. The elements that were included in the quantitative survey were really informed by the previous literature on the Muslim population within New York City and the United States, but also we conducted a key informant interview before we even started to engage in the community recruitment, and they thought that these were important to include within the quantitative survey as well. And the qualitative study, which again took up the bulk of the interview, included domains around health access, health communication, religiosity, social support and capital, health messaging, and finally, breast and cervical cancer, beliefs, screening practices, and health behaviors. So here are some preliminary results from the in-depth interviews. Again, we were actually really lucky to have a wide range of ethnicities and ages within our Marhala sample, something we really thought was important from the beginning. So we were successful in making sure we had a diverse representation within our group. And then we also had a large diversity in terms of the other kind of characteristics we were looking at. So in terms of education, about 40% were college graduates, but also 26% of the sample had less than a high school education. More than half of the sample worked full-time or part-time, but about a quarter were homemakers, and over a third of the sample were low-income populations. Again, in terms of insurance, about a quarter of the sample did not have health insurance, and most did not live alone within their homes, which indicated the kind of social support kind of variables that we're also interested in looking at. Again, the Muslim population in New York City is largely immigrant, so we thought that was important to look at. So in terms of acculturation variables that we collected information on, about half spoke English primarily at home, but among the other half that didn't speak it, about 20% really couldn't comprehend, read, or speak English very well. In terms of screening rates, we saw a large population that had never received a PAP, so about a third of the sample did not receive a PAP test, and among those who did, they were not done in a timely manner, which was really important for us to collect information on. And similar to the PAP, the Marhaba breast cancer screening rates indicated that about 14% had never received a mammogram, and among those who did receive a mammogram, again, they were not conducted in a timely manner. So the qualitative information, again, the bulk of the interview survey. So some preliminary themes that we're seeing that were barriers for women to get screened in New York City was the gender of physicians, healthcare access, issues around modesty, stigma, or fear, some fatalism that occurred within the sample, and then also lack of knowledge about screening. But we also found that a facilitator's screening was the religion, and I'll go through each of these a little in the next couple of slides. So the gender physician, women indicated that if they did not have a female provider, they were not going to get screened. The gender of the physician was a huge barrier for a lot of these women in terms of whether or not they were getting screened for cancer. So as some of these codes indicate that it cannot be a male, it has to be a female if I'm going to get screened. And then the gender of the physician was really important in terms of women trusting them and getting these cancer screenings. Females simply want to feel comfortable relating to others, and they really want a female healthcare provider in order to get the screenings. Another big barrier for women to get cancer screened within New York City was health insurance. The healthcare system in the United States is expensive, as indicated by a number of people within the sample, and that not having health insurance is really number one in terms of barriers for getting screened within New York City. Another issue that we saw was modesty. You know, many women talked about kind of they wanted their providers to be more culturally sensitive, and indicating that, you know, in terms of these cancer screenings, they that involve very private parts for the women. They wanted to make sure that their providers understood those kind of modesty concerns, and then when they did not receive that sensitivity in terms of providers giving them care, they often did not get the cancer screening. So that was another big issue for the women within our sample. And then also stigma and fear. Again, cancer is very stigmatized within the Muslim community that we're finding, and especially with cervical cancer, with the link to kind of sexual history, sexual partners. They don't want to get screened for the cancer because they didn't want to know if they had cancer, especially as for breast and cervical cancer. And, you know, these issues that about breast and cervical cancer are very taboo. So one woman indicated that sex is taboo in Africa. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about sexuality. It's something that you never discuss. And when people are actually diagnosed with cancer, it was top secret and nobody was supposed to know, mostly because they were embarrassed and because cancer is stigmatized within the community. Another barrier to getting screened for cancer was this, some ideas of fatalism. So again, a lot of women thought that everything came from God, and breast cancer could sometimes be a form of punishment, like you did something against God or something like that. And again, you know, just God gives you everything. Sex is not to have fun, it's to have a purpose. So it's in terms of maybe you deserved to get this cancer. And then also, something like if you did receive a cancer screening, you know, what we were asking women, what could you do to prevent getting cancer? And it's one woman indicated that if something happens to you, then it's just, you know, you have to be with God and you have to pray. And again, actually, dissimilar to some of the findings that you had presented, there was a huge lack of knowledge about cancer screening, cancer outcomes, and just and HPV in particular. So in terms of what do you know about cervical cancer, I don't know exact details about cervical cancer, and I can't really speak to the different things that can cause or affect it. And then a lot of women indicated that they didn't need these cancer screenings because it's not my lifestyle. It hasn't been part of my priorities to really check, go check it out. However, we did found that religion was a huge facilitator to screening, mostly around ideas of kind of taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, and as cancer screening is a part of a preventive health behavior, women thought that this was really important to receive. So again, you know, if you can't take care of yourself, you can't practice your religion. But you have, and then another woman indicated that you have to have some sort of type of action along with your faith, and again, this went to women getting screened for cancer as part of preventive health behavior. So here are some initial concepts based on all of the data we received from the in-depth interviews. Again, we really thought the platform of the health campaign was an important aspect of it. So we collected information about the sources of health information. We found that women, a third of the women went to their healthcare provider to get information about health, but also used a lot of different other mediums in terms of newspaper, internet, TV, and things along those lines. And then we also found that the, in terms of the health campaign, there was a huge lack of information. You know, if people knew about the severity of a health situation or disease, they would be more likely motivated to act. Again, language is a huge concern among the sample, so many women indicated that a campaign had to be in language. In terms of the form of the campaign, pictures or visual images, again, I think given some of the language proficiency issues and kind of just the culture within images and things along those lines, a lot of women indicated that pictures were needed to be an integral part of the campaign. Campaign content, it needed to highlight the fact that the Muslim community was diverse. And in terms of a spokesperson, women indicated that it could be either a healthcare provider, again, just because these are the large source of information for women in terms of health, but also that they trust them. And then also a community member or survivor in terms of who could actually disseminate and kind of deliver the message. So just some quick concepts. So this is what we created as a logo, again, with the two ribbons of cervical and breast cancer, and then also Muslim Women's Health, again, going with the images that were so vital to the women in terms of our in-depth interview results. One potential campaign concept that we developed is around this issue of family for Muslim women, as it's central to many of their lives. So each concept has a TV ad and a print ad. So, and for this concept, you have this hectic household, and you know the dad can't pick out a tie, the kids trying to have breakfast, and the little girl screaming for her mom. And then, then we cut to the woman entering the house, and all peace is restored within the family. And then there's a voiceover that says, "Your family can't lose you even for a moment, a minute. Imagine a lifetime. Safeguard your health by regular screening." And this is the print ad for that concept. A home without a mother is just a house, and kind of the cutout. So again, given the different needs, the modes and mediums of women getting cancer health information, we decided that a TV and a print ad was really important to include in both of a campaign. Another concept that we had a flower, again, you know, a symbol of feminism and kind of purity. And as the TV commercial progresses, one of the petals within the flower gets a dot, a speck of kind of a marring of here in the petal. And then you show a woman with her daughter kind of removing the petal. And the voiceover goes, breast and cervical cancer can affect anyone anytime, but you can take control of your health, play an active role, and protect your health. Here's the print ad, "Don't let cancer damage your beautiful life." Another concept was around, again, the family. And in this one, a father is reading to his son a storybook about a queen bee. And as the father said, the queen bee community serves to look after the queen bee. And the son asks, "Why is that?" And the father responds, "Because the queen bee is the soul of the beehive. Without her, the bee colony cannot exist. A healthy queen means a strong and healthy and productive hive." And the son responds, "It's just like our home." So again, going to the family and kind of the woman as a central part of the family, this concept was developed. And the voiceover says, "Being the queen bee of your family comes with certain responsibilities. Take charge of your health, not only for yourself, but also for your loved ones." And here's a print ad for that. As a queen bee of your family, you have some responsibilities. And the last concept goes through the spokesperson issue. So in this one, we have a famous person who would be a spokesperson for the campaign, a famous Muslim woman who goes through her day, and then as the TV commercial ends, it's her getting at the provider's office getting a cancer screening. And the voiceover says, "My faith guides me to follow my dreams. My body enables me in that pursuit. I won't let breast and cervical cancer get in my way. A 10-minute screening could be all the difference." And here's the print ad. And another version of the same concept has a woman from the community, a cancer survivor. "Again, this year I battled breast cancer and won. I'm now living the best possible life I can. A 10-minute screening could make all the difference." And here is the print ad of that as well. One woman stated within our study, "This is going to be a long battle, but eventually it helped." So we are in the process of focus group testing the health campaign concepts. Women are really excited about it and are really supportive of it. So we're excited to enter this next phase of the Marhaba study as well.